Welcome to Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world, from the Minghui website. This week's top stories include Washington, D.C. rally condemns CCP's persecution of Falun Gong. British officials support Falun Gong practitioners and oppose 22-year-long persecution in China. U.S. State Department expresses concerns about a Russian court's suppression of Falun Gong. Reported in first half of 2021, 9,500 Falun Gong practitioners arrested or harassed for their faith. European officials praise the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. And Singapore, multiple countries represented at 9-day Falun Dafa workshop. Now for the stories.
Washington, D.C. rally condemns CCP's persecution of Falun Gong. Nearly 2,000 Falun Gong practitioners attended a public rally held at the National Mall in Washington, D.C. on July 16, 2021. Representatives of U.S. government agencies, nonprofit organizations, and religious institutions spoke at the event, calling to hold the Chinese Communist Party accountable for the 22 years of persecution of Falun Gong. In addition to thanking practitioners' courage to speak and uphold the truth, some speakers expressed their appreciation for practitioners' contribution to America's freedom. Faith McDonald, director of advocacy at Catartismos Global, praised practitioners' courage after 22 years of persecution. As the CCP's tentacles reach out into the world, she said, "You have continued to stand for truth, and we're at a point now where you stand for truth against the lies that are taking place in the West as well. So I thank you for spreading truth in America." The July 16th rally was the first since the outbreak of the coronavirus in early 2020. While speakers in past years often referred to the Chinese government when criticizing the perpetrators, this year speakers specifically called out the CCP for accountability. Frank Gaffney, executive chairman of the Center for Security Policy and vice chairman of the Committee on the Present Danger for China, said, "I want you to know, on behalf of millions of Americans who have probably never heard of the Falun Gong, how much we who love freedom appreciate what you do to try to protect it, to try to practice it, to try to make sure that the rest of us can continue to enjoy it and practice it, not least by helping the rest of us understand the mortal threat that is posed to all of us who love freedom, the free world, by the Chinese Communist Party." German Member of Parliament Jürgen Braun, who spoke at the event after attending the International Religious Freedom Summit, said, "The Communist Party of China is a threat to the movement of human rights in the world. Therefore, every victim of the Communist Party of China deserves our total support."
British officials support Falun Gong practitioners and oppose 22-year-long persecution in China. 22 years ago this month, the Chinese Communist Party started a nationwide campaign against Falun Gong practitioners. Since then, a large number of practitioners in China have been detained, imprisoned, and tortured for their belief in truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. As practitioners in the United Kingdom are holding various events this month to raise awareness of the persecution and calling for an end to the brutal treatment of their counterparts in China, many UK officials have written to practitioners to reaffirm their commitment in opposing the suppression and supporting innocent practitioners. Lord Mackenzie of Framwellgate wrote, "Thank you for reminding the world that as we come out of the COVID-19 pandemic, the erosion of human rights, freedom, and the rule of law in China continues in the way that the Chinese Communist Party deals with its religious and ethnic minorities in that great country. It is truly shocking that in 2021, there is overwhelming evidence of treatment amounting to genocide taking place on an industrial scale in a developed country which sits on the UN Security Council. Atrocities on such a scale have not taken place since the middle of the last century. The world vowed then that it would not be allowed to happen again. The evidence of re-education camps, gang rape, organ harvesting, torture, and killings in China is overwhelming and is a clear policy of the CCP. This onslaught on freedoms, including the rights of the Falun Gong to practice their beliefs, are an unacceptable attack on basic human rights in any so-called civilized country, and I am glad to speak out with many others in calling for the taking of positive action by the world to bring these atrocities to an end. Professor David Patrick Paul Alton, Baron Alton of Liverpool, said, "Over the past two decades and more, the Chinese Communist Party has waged a vicious war of attrition against Falun Gong practitioners. This is part of a pattern of persecution against all adherents of spiritual and religious movements which refuse to bend their knee to dictatorship and tyrannical ideology. Horrific evidence of forced organ harvesting of Falun Gong practitioners was presented to the Independent Tribunal, chaired by Sir Geoffrey Nice."
U.S. State Department expresses concerns about a Russian court's suppression of Falun Gong. The U.S. State Department issued a statement on July 9th expressing concern over a Russian court on the suppression of Falun Dafa, also known as Falun Gong. The statement reads, "We are deeply concerned by a Russian court's decision to uphold the designation of the Caucasia Regional Branch of Falun Gong as extremist and criminalize the peaceful practice of their spiritual beliefs. Russian authorities harass, fine, and imprison Falun Gong practitioners for such simple acts as meditating and possessing spiritual texts." Titled "Russia's Continuing Repression of Members of Religious Minority Groups," this statement was issued by Ned Price, department spokesperson, one day after the circuit court in Kemerovo reached a judgment on July 8th. The U.S. State Department urged the Russian government to end its practice of misusing the extremist designation as a way to restrict human rights and fundamental freedoms, writing, "We continue to call on Russia to respect the rights of freedom of religion or belief for all, including Falun Gong practitioners and members of other religious minority groups in Russia, simply seeking to exercise their beliefs peacefully." Yesterday's decision is another example of Russian authorities labeling peaceful groups as extremists, terrorist, or undesirable, solely to stigmatize their supporters, justify abuses against them, and restrict their peaceful religious and civic activities. The statement continued, "The Russian government has done so against a number of groups whose members face home raids, extended detention, excessive prison sentences, and harassment for their peaceful religious practices." This decision has raised broad concerns. Many suspect the influence of the Chinese Communist Party at work. Falun Dafa associations and supporters in many countries have written to the Russian government, clarifying the facts and indicating that the decision has violated the Convention for the Protection of Human Rights and Fundamental Freedoms. Russian practitioners also said they would continue to appeal the decision to the Supreme Court.
Reported in first half of 2021, 9,500 Falun Gong practitioners arrested or harassed for their faith. The first half of 2021 recorded approximately 3,300 Falun Gong practitioners being arrested and 6,200 harassed for their faith, an ancient spiritual discipline that has been persecuted by the Chinese Communist Party since 1999. Among the approximate 9,500 targeted practitioners, over 1,300 had their homes ransacked. 152 practitioners had a total of almost 2 million yuan and $20,000 in cash confiscated, averaging 142,000 yuan per person. Another 113 practitioners have had their pensions suspended by the authorities, often with the excuse that while they were serving time for their faith, they weren't entitled to any retirement benefits, even though there is no such stipulation in Chinese labor law. One woman in Yunnan province had her 32 years of service wiped out and is receiving no more pension payments. She relies on meager unemployment benefits to get by. At the time of this writing, over 2,000 of the arrested practitioners remain in custody. Another 78 have been forced to live away from home to avoid further persecution and possible arrest. A total of 350 of the arrested and 425 of the harassed practitioners reported in the first half of 2021 were 65 years of age or older. The oldest practitioner harassed was 94 years old. In addition to the elderly practitioners, a 12-year-old girl with epilepsy was arrested with her parents and maternal grandmother at 2 a.m. While the communist regime also had the knocking-on-the-door harassment campaign of 2017 and the so-called gang-cracking-down campaign in 2018 that targeted Falun Gong practitioners for their faith, the Zero Out campaign has been the most thorough and pervasive of all, in which the authorities are visiting every practitioner and some of their family members on the government's blacklist, door to door, and attempting to force them to renounce Falun Gong.
European officials praise the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. When the Chinese Communist Party launched a nationwide campaign targeting Falun Gong on July 20, 1999, it expected to eradicate the group in a few months. After all, throughout the CCP's decades-long rule, few targeted individuals, organizations, or ideologies had survived its ruthless brutality. However, Falun Gong, a meditation system based on the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, is still standing strong after relentless persecution and is practiced by millions of people around the world. The CCP's severe human rights violations of Falun Gong practitioners have caught the attention of officials from all over the world. On July 20, 2020, two Canadian Parliament members, Peter Kent and Judy Sgro, and Swedish Parliament member Ann-Sophie Alm, initiated a joint statement calling for an end to the persecution and the release of all detained Falun Gong practitioners. Since then, more than 900 ministers and members of Parliament, both current and former, in 35 countries and regions, have signed the joint statement to stop the persecution in China. Among these officials, about 500 are from 23 European countries, including the United Kingdom, Germany, France, Italy, Denmark, Ireland, the Netherlands, Sweden, Switzerland, Belgium, Austria, Norway, Finland, Poland, Czechia, Slovakia, Romania, Estonia, Hungary, Latvia, Lithuania, Spain, and Cyprus. In speeches and in congratulatory letters, many European officials said they are willing to stand with Falun Gong practitioners against the totalitarian CCP. The persecution of Falun Gong by the CCP has lasted 22 years. These 500 or so supportive officials from 23 European countries are not merely numbers. Rather, it indicates the CCP was doomed when it started to challenge values such as Falun Gong's principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. What's unfolding now is an opportunity for more people to step forward and reject the regime.
Singapore, multiple countries represented at 9-day Falun Dafa workshop. The Singapore Falun Dafa Society held its quarterly free 9-day Falun Dafa workshop on June 19th through 27th. This time, in addition to local residents attending the classes, people from countries of Malaysia, Japan, and China participated. Catherine, a Singaporean, first heard about Falun Dafa in 2008. When she was taking a taxi, the driver mentioned Falun Dafa and said, "Praying is not effective unless you cultivate yourself." She was very curious and wanted to know what Falun Dafa was all about. She went online to check it out. After she learned more about the practice, she went to a bookstore to purchase the Chinese and English language versions of the Falun Dafa books, including Master Li Hongzhi's lectures given in different countries and regions. After she read them, she realized that Falun Dafa is truly great. Misa, from Japan, said the first time she heard about Falun Dafa was when she visited Taiwan with her father. Some friends tried to tell her about Falun Dafa, but she was too young to understand what it was about. The first day she practiced the exercises, she felt a very strong energy passing through her body. The second day she did them, she felt very comfortable. Misa said, "When I was in Taiwan, I noticed people teaching the exercises, so I started to learn the movements. Although that happened long ago, I still remember that special feeling. After returning to Japan, I kept looking for local practice sites. This time, in Singapore, I finally found it." Masa, a gentleman from Japan, said that this was his first time practicing the exercises. He'd tried other religions for 2 or 3 years, so he knew how to meditate. He wanted to find a practice that does true cultivation. When he was passing by the activity center, he noticed the advertisement about the 9-day Falun Dafa class, and he signed up. After attending the classes, Masa said, "The Falun Dafa exercise movements may seem simple, but they are not simple. They may not seem special, but they are actually very special." Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.